So what brings you out today? It seems like it's a holiday or something. But I guess maybe the more general question is, why do you come to church at all on a Sunday morning? I mean, I'll just be honest, I am not a morning person. I've been up since 4 this morning, and that is not natural. I'm just going to tell you. But I can also assure you, the only thing that will get me up in the morning before the sun rises is that Jesus Christ is risen. Period. Otherwise, I'm staying in bed with the dogs and with Rachel, because that's what happens, right? Yeah, exactly. Nothing else would get me going in the morning. And I'm hopeful that today that you are here because you want to hear a good word and dispel any doubt in your mind or in your heart that a supernatural event that happened in Jerusalem so long ago is actually true. And I'm here to tell you it is absolutely true. But also at the same time, I can sympathize why anyone would have doubts about something that defies science. I get it. But I want to tell you, if you're not a regular attender here at Bethel, what I'm going to tell you is this, is that we are big believers in science here, but we're also believers in miracles. God never told us to check our brains at the doors before we come into church. So I get it when it's hard to kind of overcome this thought of, well, people don't normally rise from the dead. It's not normal. I mean, think about the story we just heard. The ladies had a hard time believing it. The disciples had a hard time believing it. It's just something that doesn't happen at all. I mean, let's go back to Luke for a second. This is how Luke, who wrote that story from eyewitnesses, this is how he told it. It began this way. But they did not believe the women, the disciples, because their words seemed like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. See, the disciples, after being informed that the tomb was empty, had the same reaction that any of us would if we heard the same thing. It's crazy talk that someone would rise from the dead. And even with that, Peter went to go check it out. And once he saw it, it didn't say that he believed. He wondered what the heck was going on. The story changes, and they finally believe once they see Jesus in person. It wasn't that they changed their mind because they thought it through and came to some logical conclusion that Jesus must be alive if he isn't. No, it took a witnessing of the risen Christ before their very eyes for them to believe. See, before this morning, the disciples, all the followers, they were not just afraid, they were deathly afraid. They were hiding because of the crucifixion. If they could kill their leader, their rabbi, Jesus, they could easily kill them too. So they were in hiding. But once they saw him, it literally changed everything about them. They couldn't help but tell people that Jesus was alive because they had seen Jesus with their own two eyes. Once they were afraid, but after the resurrection, they were ready to die to tell other people about Jesus. Now here's the deal. No one risks their life over a lie. Someone might lie to preserve their life, but they wouldn't tell a lie even if they were facing death. So what does this tell us? And what does this mean? It means this, that the power of the resurrection is alive today. It wasn't a one-time event, but the resurrection and the power of that resurrection is here and now and with us and out in the world. The only difference is sometimes we have to go looking for it. Sometimes we'll miss it if we're not paying attention. But I will tell you, there are Easter sightings everywhere if you just spend some time looking for it. Matter of fact, this past week, did you hear the story about this cute little two-year-old named Samantha Savitz? She lives over in Massachusetts, Newton, Massachusetts, as a matter of fact, and she is an outgoing, charming little toddler. She tries to chat up everybody that she meets, but here's the deal. She's deaf, but she will still try to communicate with anyone who locks eyes with her. But as she got older, she tried to befriend all of her neighbors in her neighborhood, and they were sad over the fact that they couldn't really have any meaningful conversation with her because they weren't able to communicate with her. Unfortunately, when she would go out for a walk, it didn't lead to many conversations. About the most she would get because of this inability to connect was a smile and a wave, but she loved to chat with anybody. In most circumstances, you kind of chalk it up and say, well, that's too bad, and just kind of let it go. But not her neighborhood. Her neighborhood did not let it go. Matter of fact, they did something remarkable, something that speaks of resurrection power. They collectively, as an entire neighborhood, started taking sign language together. More specifically, they didn't sign up for a class. They hired a sign language teacher just to teach their neighborhood so they could talk to little Samantha. Occasionally, she attends class. I know it's hard to see, but the little picture down there is her in class. And the first time she walked into the class, the first thing that she signed to her neighborhood was the word friend. See, to no fault of her own, she was isolated from others, and she couldn't even do anything about it, but her neighbors could, and they did. And I can't help it, that's one of the messages of Easter, that we are not alone. We're not isolated, we're not cut off, because Jesus is alive. I mean, think about that story again of Easter. On Saturday and Friday night, the disciples and everybody were locked in a room. They were afraid. They were behind closed doors. They were filled with grief. They were no longer safe, and they were isolated. But once the women went to the tomb to discover their leader, their rabbi, their teacher was back from the dead, they were no longer cut off. Jesus broke through the isolation and the sadness, not just then, but now. And that God will connect us not only to him, but to each other. That's why we're here together. Now, the rest of the story goes, Jesus doesn't live for just a few more years or a decade. He is alive now, here in this moment. And I want you to know that you are not alone, not now and not ever. And the really cool thing is that if you want, you can also have a built-in family. I love having a church family. That means I'm never alone. And it means if anybody has need, we're there for each other. I love having a church family. We are connected. So whether things are going well in your life or they're falling apart, I want you to hear clearly today that Jesus is trying to break through, just like that neighborhood did for little Samantha. And not only that, not only is Christ trying to break through to each and every one of us today, but he will never, ever leave us. And that is good news. God breaking through and showing us that he is victorious. Today is the message that God wins. Here's some insider advice. Never bet against God. Just you can write that one down. That one's pretty good. Now, there's a guy who wrote a lot of the New Testament. His name was Paul, and he said it this way in Romans chapter 8. If God is for us, who can be against us? Now, I'd put it a different way, is if God is for us, who would want to be against us? Who doesn't want to be on the winning side of anything? If I mention a sports team, I'm curious how many people know this sports team. Has anybody ever heard of the Washington Generals? There's a couple of you know the what. The Washington Generals, they don't have a really good winning record because they are the team that always plays the Harlem Globetrotters. You can look it up when you get home. It's well worth your time. Their record is 3 and about 17,000. I figured they had lost all their games, but actually they had won 3, and one of them took the Harlem Globetrotters by surprise because they were messing around and it was too late in the game and they actually won. But they almost always lose. And I would ask you, which team would you rather cheer for? The one that's 3 and 17,000 or the one that's 17,000 and 3? Well, this morning is way bigger than sports teams. We have been rescued. Instead of wondering if you are adrift in the world and not knowing if God really cares or even if that God exists, Easter tells us that God is quite real and even stronger than death. Easter morning reminds us that we don't have to wonder what God's intentions are for us. God wants to help us and help us move forward and not be thrown to and fro by the waves of life. I know sometimes it's hard to keep our heads above water, but we just keep paddling away. Even this morning, our hearts go out to those in Sri Lanka who were looking forward to worshiping, and instead they were attacked. And so sometimes it just feels like you're barely keeping your head above water. Not unlike this friend of mine over here. This little gal was found swimming in the Gulf of Thailand last week, 135 miles away from shore. Workers on an oil rig for Chevron saw this dog swimming because of the calm seas and literally whistled over to her, and she paddled up and got on one of the low-level, you know, walking platforms where she was exhausted. Well, they did what they could for her. They fed her. They gave her water. They let her sleep. She spent 2 nights on the oil rig before a passing fishing trawler was heading back to Thailand, so they craned her over onto the ship so she could go back to the mainland, where once she got there, she was taken to a veterinarian and is doing quite well, as a matter of fact. Don't get any ideas, Rachel, but the dog is up for adoption. So don't get any ideas. But I want you to hear clearly when I think about this story is that, first of all, I said you're not alone, but you're also not adrift. Jesus is holding on to us, even in this very moment. Even if you have uncertainty in your life, Jesus is holding on, and he will never let go because he loves you so very much. When I was a kid, I didn't have these big dreams as a kid. I wasn't one of these kids who wanted to be an astronaut or, you know, any number of these big things. So not even that. I actually, one of the things I thought about when I was a kid, and this was before computers, what I really wanted to do is I wanted to work in an office and have lots of paperwork so that I could use stamps. I loved as a kid using, there's something deeply satisfying about hitting an ink pad and then stamping someone else's paperwork, either approved, but even more fun, rejected. That right? I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you. And that was kind of one of those things that I always wanted to have a set of ink pads in which to stamp other people's work. And the reason I tell you this is that Easter morning, God the Father raised Jesus from the dead, and he gave him his seal of approval. I know. Thank you. My wife works at the Marine Mammal Center. It's not a seal. It's a sea lion. My sermon is ruined. Can't make my point. Now, are you going to be upset the fact that I spent $8 yesterday and ordered that stamp for you as your Easter present? Do we have to return it because it's a sea lion?
No.
because I want you to stamp paperwork at the Marine Mammal Center with that. By the way, I want to finish my sermon now, okay? That's okay, you know. Okay, good, good. It's in the mail. But God the Father put his seal of approval on Jesus. He was pardoned from death. He was vindicated, and he was proclaimed innocent. And because we have been adopted into the family of God through faith in Christ, we too have been stamped with the words approved in permanent ink, and no one can remove it. Besides, on Good Friday, Jesus threw out the rejected stamp forever when he died for us. So rejoice, because it is Easter and our Savior lives. Happy Easter, everybody. And with that, I say amen. Amen. Let's sing together, My Redeemer Lives.
1, 2, 3, 4. I know he rescued my soul.